Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. We continue on our study, the series we are doing in Matthew. Now we are in Matthew chapter 8. We're looking at verse 18 to 22.
Are you willing to turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 8, verse 22?
The title of the message, Following Jesus. To set the stage for you, or the context for you, we are in Capernaum. Jesus has proven over and over again that he is the Son of God, the Messiah who was to come into the world. He delivered people from demon possession and healed them from their different, difficult, incurable diseases. And consequently, a crowd followed him. That is where we are. We are reading from verse 18 to 22. Now, when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side. And a scribe came up and said to him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Another of the disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go bury my father. And Jesus said to him, Follow me, and leave the dead to bury their own dead. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. Friends, there are many people today who claim to follow Jesus. The question that should be in your mind as a person, are you following faithfully? Are you following for the right reason? Are you following with the right motive? Will you follow to the end? When it has been all said and done, will you be found among those who have persevered to the end? Will you be found among those who trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ all their lives? Those who walk not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the ways of sinners, nor sit in the seat with scoffers, those whose delight is in the law of God, and in his law they meditate day and night. I say this, friends, because there are those who seem to have started well. They seem to have started well, but along the way they fell off the bus, as it were. And we, as spectators, those who were looking, we are left to wonder, did they really follow faithfully? We are left to wonder whether Jesus was capable, is he capable of keeping them? So our message this morning, friends, will help us to examine our own commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask yourself, what is your motive? What is it that is driving you to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? What are you hoping for? Are you a true disciple of this Lord Jesus Christ? Do you follow the Lord Jesus Christ to learn from him and to prove your commitment by abiding in his word? As the people follow the Lord Jesus Christ here, he reacts back to them. And the reaction here is towards the crowd and two men committing to follow Jesus Christ.
And I want you
to notice later on that these two men committing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, they are committing to follow on a personal level. They are different than the crowd. Yet, the Lord Jesus Christ reacts. Therefore, we see three responses from the Lord Jesus Christ to teach us true discipleship. To teach us what it will take to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, there is more in the word of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can go through. But for this morning, I would like us just to spend time within these verses. Firstly, the problem of popularity. A disciple needs to be aware of the problem of popularity. That is the first thing we need to look at. Look at verse number 18. Now, when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side. What you see here, friends, first is that Jesus does not want to be followed on basis of his popularity. He also doesn't want people to follow him while motivated by a crowd. Because friends, following Jesus is more meaningful and genuine when you follow outside a crowd and when you follow not because Jesus is being made popular. Because if you follow because Jesus is popular, Jesus reacts towards things like that. The words we just read in verse 18, in its original form, they read like this. Let's go away. That is what Jesus is saying to his disciples. He's looking at the crowd. Me and you will be much happy to see a crowd marching into this church to listen, as it were, to the word of God. Yet, the Lord Jesus Christ says, let us go out of here. Friends, this calls for our attention. It would have been better, friends, for the Lord Jesus Christ to remain with these people, to teach these people, to show them the way unto God. It would have been better, even would have suggested and advised him, stay, Lord, teach them the ways of God. There were many people in the crowd seeking and for healing and for miracles, and Jesus can deliver to all those things. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ decided to leave these people. Friends, let me tell you, it was not because he was overcrowded. Listen to this.
Amen.
There was a problem within the hearts of these people. This is a matter of the heart. Because many people follow Jesus while their hearts are still far from the Lord Jesus Christ. What they say with their mouth is not rooted deep within their own hearts. There is a conflict between what they believe and what they want to act as though they believe. There's a conflict between the mind and the heart. The Lord Jesus Christ can see within every man's heart. They were following in unbelief. That is the problem here. They were following because Jesus is popular. They were following because of miracles and wonders. Remember when we were read a few weeks ago is that when Jesus finished healing Peter's mother-in-law, many people brought their loved ones to be healed and to be delivered from demons, and these people, they come to him on basis of those works. Unbelief had closed their hearts not to see this Son of God, this glorious Son of God who comes from heaven for the sin of the world. These people were not interested in true discipleship. They were not interested in knowing and learning more about the Lord Jesus Christ. These people will not sit in Bible studies. These people just want to be among the crowd. They want to be together regardless whether they believe or they don't believe. In their unbelief, they were driven by popularity. Two popularities here. Christ's popularity, their own popularity, that they may be counted among those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like in Nazareth, the people did not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came from heaven, the Lamb of God among the wolves in this world. They did not believe that he is the sin bearer of the world. They were following, but they were not driven by the truth in their hearts. They had personal agendas. I don't know what is your agenda, my friend. I don't know whether it's the truth that is pulling you to the fountain of life or you have a different agenda. I don't know. Among these people, there were those who wanted to make Jesus their earthly king. They wanted Jesus to solve their social problems. I don't know if that doesn't sound like today's world, whereby we want Jesus just only to solve our social problems. Jesus is proving once again, he's not here for social reformation. So this huge number claiming to follow this Lord Jesus Christ did not blind the Lord Jesus Christ from the truth that is written within each and every one's soul. What is that truth? That man is blind. Man is blinded by sin. Man needs a personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Man needs to follow only when his eyes of the heart have been opened to the truth that Jesus Christ is a savior. If you are following but outside that truth, there is a problem. You need to follow, having realized that you need greater help, than healing and miracles. You need something more than that.
Tsantso la tele so bona re o hloka thuso e fetang o fodiswa meleng o hloka thuso e fetisang e leng thuso ya moya.
You need to follow, having realized that your soul should be yearning or is yearning for the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ within your own hearts.
Tsantso o tle o latela o bona gore moya wa gao wa lakatsa o bilane wa hloka o kholoswa ke morena Jesu.
So friends, you should not just follow.
Ha o tsamela o latele fela.
You must be a disciple.
Tsantsi o be murutu.
You must be a learner.
Tsantsi o be murutu.
You must be somebody who wants to grasp the truth of God, who wants to learn heavenly mysteries in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Tsantsi o motho ba tsang uithuta nnete ya morena.
Here is something that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to protect you from.
Ke entwe morena Jesu ba tsang buloka ho yona.
As you are among a crowd.
Ha o le hara matsholetsweng.
Number 1. From within the crowds, there is always counterfeit Christianity. People who really love the works of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they hate the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't care much about Christ's commandments in their own lives. All that they want is deliverance and healing and health and wealth of this world. That is why, friends, there is a possibility that you come to church just because your friends come to church. You come to church just because your husband or your wife or your children, they come to church.
It's
a possibility that you come to church, you follow because of a crowd. The question is, my friend, will you introspect your own heart even this morning? Will you open the pages of your heart, as it were, and really see whether you are a believer, whether you are following, genuinely following the Lord Jesus Christ? Is your desire to learn from the Lord Jesus Christ? That matters is that you tick a box and say, I also was at church this Sunday. Friends, as you are following, do you even believe the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe and love this Lord Jesus Christ? Do you follow because you are attracted by the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ that He has done at the cross, or you are following because you love these nice Christian songs that they sing in the church? Or else you just want to quiet your conscience, because your conscience is telling you that you owe God. You owe God. Perhaps you just want to be among the crowd that is cheering the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you also want to cheer, Jesus, Jesus, Lord, Lord. Friends, if you will be separated from the crowd, how would you follow? If you will be standing alone and the crowd is taken away from you, would you follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Should your husband pass on? Should your wife pass away? Should your children escape and go somewhere else? Will you still continue to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you still continue and try to learn as much as you can from Him, drawing from that fountain of life, drawing from Emmanuel's veins? You don't find it within a crowd. Number 2, from within the crowd, there's a problem of lack of commitment. Within the crowd, everybody wants someone to do something. Nobody takes the first step that he wants or she wants to do something. There should always be someone else to do something. Friends, if you will not be willing to sit under true biblical preaching, you are not a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will be going up and down, my friends, getting excited by unbiblical singing out there and the dancing that is happening, if that's all that is exciting you, not the word of God, not learning from him, you are definitely not a disciple. But another problem with the crowd, number three. A crowd can bring false motivation to the leadership itself. That's why I need to tell you, friends. A leadership that is motivated by a crowd is bound to forget its mission. It is bound to forget its mission, which is to preach the word of God. It is to pray. And that is what was Jesus' main concern. Jesus always wanted to pray, my friend. So friends, the crowd will prevent the lover of prayer to exercise his spiritual gift of praying, or his spiritual right, so to say, of praying. And once you have a leadership motivated by a crowd, there will always be a lack of prayer, and there will always be that huge number of women and ungodly women and men who are not after God's own heart. That is why, friends, before you join a church, even this church, before you join, you ask yourself, what is in the DNA of this church? What is in the veins of this church? What is running through the fibers of this church? Is it all about the pastor's popularity, or is it all about making you a disciple, a faithful child of God? Does the church aim to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit? Does the church aim to teach you to observe all that Christ has taught, that Christ has commanded, until the day he returns?
Friends,
true discipleship will cost you to deny yourself that popularity, opportunity that is out there. The popularity, opportunity that is out there, which your heart also desires. True discipleship will cause you to deny that. Unless, friends, you are one of those people who wants to follow Jesus so that they find a church where they will get married. Unless, friend, you are one of those who want to follow Jesus among the crowd so that you just find a church where you will be buried when you die.
Someone
Friends, I want to tell you, Jesus can see within the crowd. Jesus is able to introspect and go through the secret corners and the secret compartments of your heart and see, really, are you a true follower? He does not want to be followed by hypocrites. He doesn't want to be followed by false converts. He doesn't want popularity. People that will follow him because of popularity. Especially if that popularity will end up sinking every soul to the depths of hell. Because Jesus, friends, cares about each and every one's soul. That is the only thing that should be driving you to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because of his works. Not because of the crowd. The question is, my friends, have you personally recognized that you have a bad record? The things that you have done? Have you recognized that? As you are walking among the crowd, have you seen your bad records? Have you recognized your own bad heart? The things that is within your heart, even the things that you do in secret, have you come to recognize those things? A crowd can make you forget that you need to introspect yourself as you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The crowd can make you relax in terms of coming to terms with these truths. Because, friends, the person who follows within a crowd cannot come to terms easy with the truth. As a true follower of Christ, get out of the crowd. Follow with your heart. Cling to the old rugged cross. Secondly, let's look at the prospect of suffering that a disciple has to go through.
Verse 19
and 20. The Bible says, and a scribe came up and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Friends, a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ must be willing to suffer for Jesus. What you need to understand, my friend, is that following the Lord Jesus Christ comes with a price that you must pay as a believer. Here, friends. Here. Immediately after Jesus Christ ordered his disciples to go with him to the other side. Immediately after the Lord Jesus Christ resolved to escape this crowd of many pretenders, a scribe came to the Lord Jesus Christ, claiming to have a desire to follow the Lord Jesus Christ wherever he goes. But friends, I want you to see that Jesus wants to make sure you don't follow him out of false hope. Don't follow out of false hope. And those who think that following Jesus Christ will benefit them for the here and now, they will be disappointed, my friends. Of course, these people seem to be genuine. These people seem to have that desire to follow Jesus. They seem to show seriousness. They step out of the crowd. They show their apparent desire to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem is they do not count the cost. Following Jesus Christ will cost you to carry your cross, my friend. Following Jesus Christ will cost you to have nowhere to lay your own head, my friend. In other words, friends, you need to know that following the Lord Jesus Christ will teach you not to expect an easy ride. Christianity is not an easy ride. I think, friends, many people come to the Lord Jesus Christ with false hope. And others, they come to him with false expectation. That is why you need to find out, where do you stand? Which is why the Lord Jesus Christ wants to be straight with this man. He wants to tell this man, on behalf of everyone else, that actually suffering awaits those who will follow the Lord Jesus Christ faithfully. You will have to sacrifice the joy that you have in this world. Friends, a disciple needs to understand that belonging to the kingdom of God does not guarantee comfort and prosperity. When you become a Christian, friends, do not expect much of tangible things. Christianity is all about growing in grace. It's all about growing in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not expect much of physical security, but spiritual security. Do not expect much prestige, but discipleship. Remember the Apostle Paul?
A
man who was famous, a man prospering in Judaism, a man having a favor with the chief priest and everybody else, an educated man, respected among the nation. What happened? When he began to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, he was hated and hunted by the very same people who cheered for him when he persecuted the believers. As soon as he followed the Lord Jesus Christ, he found himself without a home. He found himself standing before the whole Jewish system to be killed, and finally he was beheaded in Rome for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here is something that you should know, friends, as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that Jesus Christ says here, he did not have a place to put his head, it doesn't mean that he wanted people to feel pity for him. No! It doesn't mean that the Lord Jesus Christ was poor. The Lord Jesus Christ was rich. He comes from a world, if you will, shining with gold, and the splendors and the beauty of heaven belongs to him. So it's not because he was poor or he wanted people to feel to have sympathy on him. The same way, when we believe in him, we are not believing in him so that we expect people to pity us, but to teach humility. Jesus was teaching humility. A believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, must have humility. That is what he was teaching. So he's speaking to this, so that I can prove this humility point. Speaking to this scribe, he used the word there. You can see the phrase "Son of Man" in your Bible.
Yeah,
Son of Man.
Moramudu.
Pointing out that the disciples, when they follow, they are not following a man from this world. They are following a man who comes from heaven. They are not following because of their own agendas, but they are following because of God's agenda, who has sent the Son of God and made him a son of man to reconcile man and God. The scribe must have remembered the use of the title Son of Man from the Old Testament scriptures. Especially in the book of Daniel chapter number 7, especially verse 13 and 14.
7,
verse
13
and
14.
There the prophet Daniel, it says, he saw in a dream someone coming with the clouds of heaven, who looked like the Son of Man, coming to the Ancient of Days. And he was presented before him.
Daniel o re bona motho a tla ka maru a le hodimo e le mora motho a tla e le ala tla pela modimo.
Son of Man presented before God. The scribe would have remembered that.
Mori ona na una tla hopola mantsi a
o remember that. It was this Son of Man who was given authority and power that all people, all nations, all tongues, all colors will come and worship at the feet of the cross. So friends, even though it will cost you to follow Jesus, yet you are following a king whose dominion is forever, whose dominion is everlasting, whose kingdom will never be
destroyed.
Regardless of the fact that he says, I have nowhere to put, to rest my head, he is the King of Glory. All that he's challenging us or this scribe to do is to be patient in tribulation. To have the hope of glory even in tribulation. To hold on even when the storms of this life come against you. Listen to what Luke chapter 14, verse 28 to 29 says, so that you may be encouraged along the way as you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 14, verse 28 and 29, it says, if you desiring to build a tower, you must first sit down and count the cost, whether you have enough to complete it. Otherwise, when you have laid a foundation and it is not able to finish, all who see they will begin to mock you.
That
is why he says, your foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man does not have anywhere to lay his head. Friends, these words will discourage you if you are among those who put materialistic things ahead of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hearing the Lord Jesus Christ says, foxes have holes I don't have, birds have nests I don't have, will discourage you if you put your family first. If Christ is not number one in your life, but your marriage and in your job is number one, you will be discouraged. If you are one of those people who are not willing to pay a great price for being followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of the fact that He Himself paid the greatest price the world has ever seen by being nailed on that cross of wood. So friends, if you say, "I will follow you wherever you go," you must mean it. If you say, "I will follow you wherever you go," you need to remember there will be times when you will be like a bird and you depend on other people's crops for your food. There will be times where you will become like a fox depending on a hole for your security. Therefore, be careful what you wish for. Discipleship will cost you a great sacrifice. Yet, you must still follow. Thirdly, the reality of sincere commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Verse 21 and 22.
Another of the disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead." Please notice, it says a disciple. Please notice, this is a man who had walked with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please notice, it is possible this is a man who had already been baptized. Please notice, this is a man who had been learning from the Lord Jesus Christ all throughout the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. I may add, please notice, this is a man who has been sitting in the church as it were. A disciple. So friends, it is possible for the follower of the Lord Jesus Christ to be a double-minded person. And that is not good as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. This man wants to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, but he also wants to be home with his father. But the message of the Lord Jesus Christ is very clear to us all. You must be willing to break ties with the world. And friends, let me just tell you, the father was not dead. There's nothing here that says the father was dead. That is why Jesus Christ says, "Let the dead bury their own dead. The dead cannot bury the dead." These people are alive. Let me explain what is happening to you. This man is simply saying to the Lord Jesus Christ, he wants to go back home. He says, "Lord, it is a good idea to follow you, but let me go home and sort out something. I will follow you on a later stage." I will follow you when my father is dead and buried. For now, it is my duty as the son to look after the home until my father is gone. No, it's not his duty, my friend. What is in this man's heart is inheritance. Before my father passed on, I want to know what is there for me.
Before
my younger brother takes everything, he's got the world in his heart. He's occupied with the love of the world. He's the man of flesh, and the Bible says he cannot please God. We must learn, friends, from this. There are things which seem to be important before us, but unless we practice with them, we are not fit to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, family, friends, is important and precious. But there must be nothing that will come between you and your desire to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. There should be nothing of great importance in this world that will separate you from your own love for God. There should be no precious thing of this world that will shake your spiritual desire. Notice, the disciple says, first, let me go bury. Look at the word, first, let me go bury. Jesus Christ is not saying it is not important to go bury your father or be with your family. But do not say first. The first thing is not your parents. Your first thing is not your desires. Jesus must be number one. He must be first in your life as a true disciple. We must occupy ourselves with the things of the world that does not lead to sin. But that should never be number one priority of our lives. Jesus should be number one. Your job is not number one. I'm not saying you must keep your job and come to church, but when opportunity presents itself, Jesus, may He be the first one in your life. Your husband, your wife, your children, your car, your house, anything that you own is not number one in your life. Jesus, may He be the first one in your life. That would be a true sign of true discipleship. Jesus says to this man, all that you need to do is to leave behind those who are behind. Leave behind those who are not following the Lord Jesus Christ. People who are not following the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of how close they may be to you, they are as good as dead anyway. He's not saying don't care about them, but let them not be number one in your life. Let Jesus be number one. You cannot remain with them. Remaining with them will not help you or help them.
You
need to be in that fountain of life and draw life from Jesus, so that your opportunity presents itself, that you may go back to them, that you may spread that kind of life that you have learned from Him. Remember, we have said last time, no man can serve two masters. Remember, this is the very same teaching that we get here from the Lord Jesus Christ, that following the Lord Jesus Christ faithfully cannot flow from a divided heart. Jesus is saying, if you want my blessing, If you want me to walk with you side by side, if you want me to hold you, if you want me to strengthen you when you are weak, if you want me to raise you up and give you strength and encourage you when you are discouraged, you must put me as number one in your life.
Or how about our Malay? Now, what are those who love us? What are those who say we are not? So, let's obey him. Not daily. We will not bow.
You need to leave behind those friends. Those friends who aim to misguide you in this life. You need to leave behind that kind, that particular lifestyle that seems to be corrupting you all the time. Be ready to leave behind even your loved ones if they come between you and your God. Remember the story that I mentioned to you months and months ago. John and Zebedee, and James, the son of Zebedee, they left their father still catching fish. What does that tell you, friends? Do not be glued to people who are not glued to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what Jesus Christ is saying to this man. But this man thinks he's got something to say. He asked Jesus whether it is reasonable to leave Jesus for a little while and go bury his father. He's asking Jesus if it's really reasonable to leave Jesus for a little while and disappear for a so-called valid reason. Is there a valid reason? I must give him some credit. At least he's asking. Some people didn't ask, they just left.
But
he gets one of the most shocking answers of his life. Jesus says, no. You are either with me or you are with the world. You are either in the light or in darkness, my friends. You cannot be one of those Christians who have one foot in the church and another foot in the world. You need to choose. Who is it that you will follow? And friends, this is not easy, hey? But listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, it is better for you to be with him, he who does not have a place of his own in this world, rather than to be with people who have a place they call home in this world when they actually are away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, following Jesus will cost you everything. It will cause you to break family ties. It will cause you to leave behind those that you love. Family will hate you for the love of you have for the Lord Jesus Christ. Following the Lord Jesus Christ will cause you to make difficult choices in this life. The question is, are you ready, my friend? The scribe, he promised the Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Maybe you have promised that. Is that what you are doing, my friend? Are you willing to break those weighty ties? Or you just want to follow Jesus when it suits you? Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ says. Okay, you still get there, but in Matthew chapter number 10, he says,
Verse 37 to 39.
Listen carefully. We are closing. Whoever loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. They've heard. Do you remember that one? The love of Christ must be number one. The message is very clear, friends. A true disciple must be willing to break ties with the world. A true disciple must be willing to be hated by family and friends. A true disciple must be willing to carry his cross. He must be willing to be hated for the sake of Christ. But maybe you are saying, I have not promised the Lord Jesus Christ that I will follow him wherever he goes. My question for you, my friends, where will you spend your eternity? Where will you spend your eternity? Because those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ today, they will spend their eternity in glory with him. Where will you be?
You
must follow faithfully. Church attendance cannot suffer just because you choose to stay home for no reason. Serving the Lord Jesus Christ in this church cannot be for a few while you dedicate your own time to worldly things. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ even when it is hard to do so. Friends, a true disciple cannot have an idol in his life, an idol that keeps him away from the Lord Jesus Christ. An idol that undermines your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Three ideas that you need to remember if you will be a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't follow a crowd. Don't follow for popularity. Don't follow for his popularity. Follow outside the crowd. Only then you'll be able to have a personal reflection on the Lord Jesus Christ and a personal walk and a personal interaction with God. Be watchful. A crowd always demands miracles and wonders. They never demand true prayer and spiritual growth. Secondly, following Jesus Christ can mean hardship and discomfort for you. Be prepared to endure hardship. To endure hardship for the sake of Christ. Count the cost, my friend. Count the cost of following Christ. The Christian life will not always be easy for you. The Christian life will not always be encouraging, humanly speaking. But follow. Thirdly, there should be no other obligations of any kind that should cause you to delay your own responsibility to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. If being faithful in the kingdom of God is too much for you, you are not ready to be in heaven, my friend.
You're
not fit for the kingdom of God.
But
as for you, as for you, strive to follow the Lord Jesus Christ at any cost. If there is something that demands your attention, do it. But remember, your commitment is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Separate yourself from anything that seems to come between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord bless you. Till we meet again. As we learn to be true disciples. As we are being sharpened. getting ready for that glorious day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. May we be all found ready. If you have not come to him today, here's the opportunity. As I pray, my friend, give your life to the Lord. Believe that God sent his son into the world to die for your sin. Believe that we are the greatest sinner the world has ever seen. Believe that you cannot save yourself, you cannot help yourself. Believe that you need Jesus. And believe that only Jesus can help you. Believe that if you call upon him today, he will save you. Don't stop by believing. Call upon him. Be saved. And follow him faithfully. Following outside the crowd. Following regardless of suffering. Following and able to break ties with the world. Let's pray.